B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Dynamic duo.
Don't feed me crap.
Of Boston Sports Radio.
Yeah, get it right, stupid.
Filger and Mass. Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook on 98.5 Sports Hub.
It was an abysmal, embarrassing performance by Kevin Durant, and the Brooklyn Nets are on the verge of getting swept. I can't believe that those words are coming out of my mouth. Now, I got them winning the series in seven games. There's still a possibility, but obviously I ain't too damn confident about that right now. They're on the verge of getting swept. Swept. And I'm talking, and listen, I understand. I don't think it's going to happen. I believe they're going to win game three, Wilbon. But let me also say, Kevin Durant ain't alone. Then let me indict Mr. Kyrie Irving. Both of them combined to shoot 8 of 30 from the field. Just abysmal.
All right, hour number three, Felger and Mass. 4 o'clock hour on an agenda-free Friday driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. The 4 o'clock hour means one thing and one thing only. It's time to talk to Gasper. Chris Gasper of the Boston Globe is brought to you by Premier Basement Waterproofing. In this year's draft, who knows who the number one pick will be? But when it comes to waterproofing your basement, it's a no-brainer. Who's at the top of the Felger and Mazz big board? It's our guy. It's the waterproofing guru, Mike Albert. To schedule with Crystal, call 844-LIVE-DRY or visit premierbasement.net. And then we can all say it together. What will it be, fellas?
It's game over for water.
What's up, Gasper?
What's up?
What are your thoughts on this series? Where are we? Is this thing over?
I mean, I don't think it's over, but I think it's tracking to go the way I thought it would go, which is, you know, Celtics in 5 or 6. I mean, you just see some of the weaknesses for the Nets. And I think the discouraging thing for the Nets is that in the first two games, right, there are some things you wanted to do that you did. You scored 61 and 65 points in the first half, or 65 and 61, and your role players actually played pretty well. You know, Goran Dragic was really good in both of those games. Bruce Brown came out on fire in game two. Seth Curry made a couple of shots in game two. If you just get in one of those games a representative effort from Kevin Durant, you probably win. But you didn't. And so now you're down 0-2. Time Lord's probably coming back. The Celtics are gaining momentum. Ime Udoka is coaching circles around Steve. Like, why is Steve Nash even there? What does he do?
He won't be there long.
Yeah.
They're going to fire his ass.
I think Kyrie set him up the other night. I think he did.
How? Why?
So the bite that Kyrie had, throwing the verbal bouquets at Ime Udoka, you know, saying, he was on our staff last year. He has some of the keys to the treasure. And don't forget, they have that other guy, Brad Stevens. We don't see him as much anymore, but, you know, they have him. I think that was all a setup in a way of basically trying to point out in stark relief the difference between what is happening on the Celtics side from a strategy standpoint and, in his mind, what's happening on the Nets side with Steve Nash. And I'll take it a step further with the general manager and Sean Marks. I think that Kyrie knows he's lined up to be the fall guy here because he's the reason that Harden wanted out. You know, Harden was like, well, I didn't want to get the vaccination, but I had to get it. This guy doesn't have to get it. I mean, I said this to you before, you know, on January 23rd, The Nets were number one in the Eastern Conference. And trying to integrate Kyrie on the run hurt them. It hurt them. It was hard to do. They weren't really sure, you know, okay, the road games were one team, the home games were another team. When is the mayor of New York going to lift this ban? When's he going to be able to come back? So, I mean, Kyrie did his thing and got his win, but it sort of hurt their team. And I think he knows that people could look at it and say, oh, you know what? They should move on from this guy like other teams have and pair Kevin Durant with somebody else, and he doesn't want that. So he's setting up Nash, who's making himself an easy fall guy, and to a lesser degree, Sean Marks, the GM who hired Nash, and made the Harden trade for a guy who hasn't played since May, and I guess now he's going to play in game four, and Ben Simmons. So it's a way of saying, oh, it's not me, it's not KD, it's look what's around us.
Yeah, and don't forget, Chris, he can opt out. So yeah. There's your leverage,
yep.
Right? What are you going to do with the coach and the
point.
GM? Because if you don't, I'm out of here. And the comment that struck me was they have a set offense and a set defense.
Correct.
I mean, that one was talk about a shot across the bow. Because the other half of that, which went unsaid, was, and we don't. That's what he wanted to say there, and that's what he did say effectively.
Well, it is mind-blowing. Like, you guys watch the games, right? Like, can you think of a single Kyrie, KD pick and roll they've run?
No.
Like, why wouldn't you run that? Why wouldn't you run a pick and roll with those two guys? Wouldn't that help one of them? I mean, how hard is that to draw up?
Every team runs a high screen and roll.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like every team. Every team. It hardly feels like there's any actions.
I just feel like Durant stands there and they throw him the ball. They
yeah.
never run him off of picks. They never run him along the baseline. Nothing. The most like prolific scorer, offensive player maybe in the game right now. It's ridiculous. All they do is, here, go ahead. You take the ball and go.
So how much of that abyss of where we are
yeah.
is on the Nets, and how much of it is on the Celtics? In other words, and I know you felt the Nets were a hot mess, you know.
Yeah, for a while.
Long ago. Have the Celtics just in a vacuum moved up in your mind where they're now legit and can take anyone on, or is this just a really good matchup with the Nets?
No, I think they're legit and can take anyone out. I mean, it is a really good matchup for them from a coaching standpoint. And also, you're a team that's so reliant on offense. And the Celtics are proving why they're the number one defense. I mean, their defense is really, really good. It's definitely a factor in what's happening. There's no question about it. I mean, it's sort of like, and I think I said this to you before, Felgie, it's sort of like when you're facing a great quarterback, Rodgers, Brady, Manning. You know your only chance is to speed that guy up, to somehow make him uncomfortable, to speed up the clock in his head. They've done that to Durant. They've done that to him. And he's missing shots he normally makes. He's not getting any easy looks. I can't give the Celtics all the credit for all the fumbling of the basketball he's doing. Like, some of the stuff, I'm like, I don't know what's going on with him. 12 turnovers. Some of those are, yeah, you're doubling him in a way where he's not sure where the double's coming from. But also, there's a couple times, like in the open court, he's just like dribbling the ball off his foot or out of bounds, or he just looks all out of sorts. He looks uncomfortable.
Thank you, Chris, because they've done a hell of a job on him, but he's just off.
He is.
And there was one, too, late in that third quarter, the second game, where he like puts it right in front of Jaylen Brown, and Brown picked it off.
Yeah.
But he was like, here, take it. Like, he's just being too sloppy. So,
yeah.
I don't know. How am I supposed to credit the Celtics for that? Because they got into his head?
Yes, they're in his head, Murray. They're in his space and they're in his head, and he's rattled. I think it's a direct result of pressure. So what I was going to ask you, Chris, is if you're Brooklyn, what do you do? Tell me what you would do to combat what the Celtics are doing.
I mean, I would definitely try and run some high pick and rolls with KD and Kyrie. I would maybe try and they do this a little bit, but I would maybe try and, have some sort of action to rub off, to get Durant to post up and like post up just outside the paint. Like, he's trying to post up these little guys like 20 feet from the hoop. Yeah, they get him the ball, but by the time he turns around, it's like the help can come over. It's easy to diagnose. If he posts up a little deeper on a little guy, then at that point, it's so much more obvious from a spacing standpoint where you should throw the ball when the help comes. Or he just turns around and shoots over the top of somebody. Instead of shooting from, 21 feet, you're shooting from 11 feet. So, I mean, I would do something, like that.
So, I mean, it all makes sense. I just don't know if the Nets are capable of it. They're not an adjustment kind of team, right? I mean, the coach doesn't know what he's doing. The players, Durant and Kyrie, even want to take coaching. It's really just sort of run and gun, D'Antoni style. So that's... they're not that kind of team to do that. They're not exactly a dig deep kind of team.
No.
And frankly, as you sort of mentioned, I think they kind of emptied the bucket as it is here. I mean, they were half a second away in game one, up 17 points in game two. I thought they played good defense for most of game two. They tried. They dug in.
Mm-hmm.
That game was a rock fight.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Nets, sort of brought everything they could in that regard. It still wasn't good enough, which is really why I think it's over.
Okay. Yeah,
you know?
No. That's all legit. I think... I still expect the Celtics to win. I just don't think it's going to be a sweep. I think Brooklyn will get at least one. I still think it's a 5 or 6 game series because somebody, Kyrie or Durant, will have some sort of transcendent performance on their home floor. And maybe some of the Celtics role players, i.e. Grant Williams, maybe those guys won't make some of the shots they made here. And, in both of those games, you looked at it, in the fourth quarter, and the Celtics had to execute. And also, I would say both those games, it's not like they got, and this is where you could look at it the other way too, from a Celtics standpoint, like, oh my God, we're up 2-0, and Jason Tatum hasn't had like a takeover fourth quarter yet.
Chris,
Not offensively,
no. Finally,
yeah.
What happened to Kyrie between game one and game two? On the floor and off. Yeah. Fire-breathing assassin.
Yep.
Vile, profane, obscene, fire-breathing assassin in game one.
Yep.
Docile, passive, reflective post-game Kyrie in game two. What happened?
Yeah, I don't know what happened off the court. You know, on the court, I think the Celtics came out and were like, okay, early on, we're going to make him give up the basketball and not let him get in a rhythm. And I think that's what happened. You know, early on, he was just giving up the ball. They sort of continued what they had done the last couple of possessions of the fourth quarter in game one, which is we're not going to let him get to his spots. We'll double him. We'll hedge on him. We'll make him give it up. And he did. And he didn't get in any sort of rhythm. And then when he did try and get in a rhythm, he wasn't hitting the same tough shots that he made in game one. Like, I thought they did a good job on him defensively in game one. He just made shots, which he sort of want to do. In game two, I thought he had some of the same looks and he just missed them. He didn't make them. You know, by the time I sort of kept waiting for him to try and force the issue, take the game over. I think you're right. I mean, I think he was too passive, you know, particularly in the first half. And I think he also got lulled into a false sense of security because the team was playing so well without him really doing anything in the first half to be up double digits at halftime. And he really hadn't done anything. They really hadn't gotten him in the game. I mean, he was 3 of 6 for 6 points at halftime. And I remember thinking at halftime in my head, I'm like, well, they're going to need a lot more from Kyrie than this if they're going to win. And then he couldn't do it. He couldn't give it to him in the second half.
All right, Gasper's got some more Celtics-Nets thoughts. He has some Patriots thoughts. We'll take your calls. We'll do that all right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Do you believe in moral victories? A good loss? We'll get them next time.
No silver linings here on Felger and Mass.
Then you are in the wrong place.
You have to accept that, so we...
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Where I'm from, you know, I'm used to all these antics and people being close nearby. You know, it's nothing new when I come into this building and what it's going to be like, but it's the same energy they have for me, and I'm going to have the same energy for them. And it's not every fan. I don't want to attack every fan, every Boston fan, but when people start yelling... and you and all this stuff, is but so much you can take as a competitor. And you know, we're the ones expected to be docile and be humble and take a humble approach. Nah, that's the playoffs. This is what it is. You know, I know what to expect in here, and it's the same energy I'm giving back to them. It is what it is. I'm not really focused on it. It's fun. You know what I'm saying? Like again, it's where I'm from. I've dealt with so much. So coming in here, you relish it as a competitor. And this is, you know, I'm going to keep repeating myself when I say again, but this isn't my first time in TD Garden. So what you guys saw and what you guys think is as entertainment, or the fans think is entertainment, all is fair in competition. So if somebody's going to call me out of my name, I'm going to look at them straight in the eye and see if they really about it. Most of the time, they're not. The timing is right. Their window is now for these young guys that are on this team that have matured. They've been through series together. They've been through seasons together. They've been through battles together. And I got a chance to experience some of that. And now being on the opposite end and going against a healthy Celtics team, obviously without Robert Williams, but you're just seeing there's a difference in their verve. There's a difference in the way they approach the game. And also they have a set offense and defense that they rely on. Ime's been a huge part of that. But yeah, you got to give credit to that guy that's sitting in the president's role as well now, that all of a sudden just, you know, we don't get to see him as often. Brad Stevens definitely has a lot to do with that.
Again, quite a change between game one and game two for Kyrie Irving. What do we expect in game three? He's not exactly the kind of guy, Chris, I expect to dig deep. You know, it's been a while since he's done that. He's more of a shut it down kind of guy. Two more basketball things real quick before we go back to the phones. What do you make of Rob Williams back in game three, Ben Simmons back in game four?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I'll be interested to see how many minutes Rob Williams plays. If I were the Celtics, I would maybe just sort of it sort of tells me the Celtics think they can go for the kill here, and they feel like, okay, Brooklyn's wounded, but they're still dangerous. Let's just get them out while we can and try and deliver the knockout punch, which is that's what the Celtics do. And that's typically the type of team that they are. You know, they like to swing for the fences. They like to swing for the knockout punch. Sometimes that works against them. So we'll see what's up with Robert Williams. Simmons, I mean, I have very low expectations for him. He hasn't played with any of these guys. He has a back injury. He hasn't played since last May. I can't see him being able to play any more than 15 minutes. His length would certainly help out there. He is a good passer, but it's like another non-shooter. I think the biggest thing he could give them would be, and I think Kyrie or Durant mentioned this, you know, they are playing some really small lineups. Like, there are times where it's like Kyrie,
definitely,
Patty Mills, Goran Dragic. Like, Durant's basically at the four, and those lineups are small, and the Celtics are taking advantage on the boards. So if Simmons could rebound a little bit and give them a little bit more size, but the trade-off of that is, you know, Dragic, Patty Mills, you have to come out and close out on them. Simmons, I'll let him shoot not only threes, I'll let him shoot a 15-foot jumper all day.
It's another guy you can help off of.
Yes.
Meaning, so, you know, who's ever covering Simmons doesn't have to cover him. He just helps out on Durant and Kyrie.
Yeah. Unless he drives. You know, once he starts driving, if he gets around the rim, he's a very good passer. So at that point, maybe the defense collapses. I mean, that's one thing I think Simmons can do in his sleep is pass.
All right. I mean, he's not exactly Braveheart. Like, you know, I'm not looking for some emotional lift from this guy either. Like, you know, seriously, if things go south, what, he's going to rally him?
All right, second item, you want to blood people over Jason Brown? Jalen Brown, you want to blood Maz?
No, I'm not here to blood. I'm just wondering if he's, you know, adjusted. Do you still feel that Jalen Brown and Jason Tatum aren't compatible?
No, but you're not here to blood.
I'm not. No, I'm asking a question.
Gas prevention.
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
3 weeks ago, you were telling us you didn't believe in the Celtics.
Yeah, and I've changed, so I'm asking if you've changed.
Now, all of a sudden, you're freaking Lucky the Leprechaun himself over here?
I changed, yeah. You know, in fact, I'll tell you what. If it comes back here for Game 5, you're going to see me as part of that dunk team.
I'll tell you what, okay?
You know, off the trampoline?
Yeah.
That's going to be me.
Because I know you are a big Jaylen Brown guy.
I am a big Jaylen
Brown
guy.
I'll tell you this. He is playing his ass off.
He has balls, Maz, as you would say.
Massive.
He does.
Massive. He's fearless.
Yes.
And see, in this environment, like, I think you really see it. He might be the most competitive guy on the team in this series. He is I think he's been the best Celtic on the floor.
He's been their best fourth quarter offensive player anyway.
He's been great. Great. Yeah.
He's kind of bailed out Tatum, you know, basically in two fourth quarters.
See, now, Chris, I am capable of doing that. I'm capable of acknowledging that a guy that I am critical of can actually elevate to a high level.
Consult Murray's notes. I gave it to him yesterday.
Yeah, it's just you I worry about.
Just concede and
what do you
it
mean?
Goes away.
You just said to me 3 weeks ago you didn't believe in them. Now you're Lucky the Leprechaun. So you already are saying that I've changed. I've changed too.
But why is it if you can change and I can change?
We can all change.
Listen, tell me
why
it would be wrong, though, to question whether Tatum and Brown could play together. Over the first 3-4 years of their career, did they put anything out there that led you to believe they could?
Well, they did go to 2 Eastern Conference Finals.
Now you sound like one of them. Tatum was a rookie, and what was Brown? Was Brown Jaylen Brown the year they went to the East Finals against Cleveland that year when they were both?
That was like an emerging year. He was very. I mean, the way he played. I mean, that was sort of when it started. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. There was still some sloppiness to a game, though.
No, like, I mean, look, Jaylen, so to me, here's the thing. Tatum's a natural. You just see it. Jaylen Brown has improved every year. He gets better and better. I've had this argument with Tom Curran, too, who wanted to trade him for, like, De'Aaron Fox.
All right, I'm not talking about Jaylen Brown in a vacuum. I'm talking about those two together elevating themselves and the team. Had they really done that?
Well, I mean, you're saying, okay, so you're saying they haven't done that.
No, had not until.
Hadn't.
Until what? Until winning 2 games in a first round series? When did they do it then?
About
halfway through the year.
Okay, so Mr. Scoreboard's going to tell me the regular season stuff matters, but don't talk to me about the 2 Eastern Conference Finals. Got it.
I just think those were different teams. They weren't the top 2 guys on those teams.
Who were the top 2 guys when they played against Cleveland? Because Hayward was out. So you're saying Horford was the number one guy?
I mean, I just don't think it was the Brown-Tatum show like it is now.
To get to that first, that's why it was so shocking, is it was the Brown-Tatum-Terry Rozier show,
Chris,
to get to that first one.
They didn't play anybody that year. They didn't play anybody. They got a soft road
so they
into
beat
the
Kelly
conference
Oubre.
Final.
Exactly.
They got a soft road into the conference final. And look, again, for young players at that time, they were good.
They played Milwaukee.
Okay. Oh, yeah. No, that was...
And that series went 7. That was an epic series.
Oh, would you
stop? So, I mean, you don't even totally believe it. I don't know why you wouldn't want to acknowledge that it's it's working now with those two. And before there was, you know, it just had it.
So here's my issue with it. I understand. You're right. It's fear. It's totally fair to question whether they're compatible. But all the questioning was Brown. It was basically like, well, this is all Jalen. In fact, you were saying, Maz, he was holding back Tatum.
Correct. He was.
And I'm telling you, in these fourth quarters, he's propping up Tatum.
Okay, but why does that make me wrong? At the time, he was. He wasn't passing the ball. The ball stuck with him.
The ball stuck with both of them.
Chris, Tatum made more of an effort to pass the ball early on than Brown did, and you know it.
I don't think that's true.
And you know it, please.
I really don't. You know what changed? And I asked Brad Stevens this question, and he really didn't give me a straight answer. But and this is where, again, I have to admit I was wrong. And I was in a camp with Bob Cousy being wrong. Their offense changed when they started to run it through Marcus Smart. When they stopped trying to put both Brown and Tatum in this position as facilitator, initiator, decision maker, that's when it started to work. Because neither one of them was doing very well in that role. But that was the thing. It was like neither one of them was doing very well, but everybody was crapping on Jaylen Brown. When they actually, and I give Smart credit for this, he was right when he was like, hey, run it through me. Let me be the point guard. And when those two guys bought into it, that's when it started to turn around.
All I'm telling you is this, okay? It changed in the middle of the regular season.
Well, everything for them changed in the middle of the regular season, though.
Yeah, yes, it did.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not, but, and it started with Tatum and Brown saying to one another, and they've talked about it, that enough of this bull crap, we're going to actually play as a team. We're going to prove to people that we can play together. That's what changed. They actually focused and committed to one another. So it's okay. I mean, I was wrong about Brown. I'll admit I was wrong about Brown 100%. He's way better player than I ever thought he would be, and he's playing his ass off right now. He's playing his ass off. So there you go, Chris. That's how you do it.
I'm glad we've settled that finally.
That's good. That's good.
Okay, let's take some phones for Gasper here. As promised, Tom in Andover. What do you got, Tommy?
Oh, guys, thank you so much for taking my call. Great to hear Celtics talk. I have a quick theory on Kevin Durant and why he's so messed up. And I'll ask it, and you guys think. I know the Celtics defense is good, but I actually think all the taunting of Kyrie is getting to Kevin Durant somehow. I mean, he's never seen that. I think he's feeling bad for Kyrie, and that the environment's just something he's
okay.
never faced.
Okay, let me stop you. Do you think the Celtics fans are affecting Kyrie Irving, never mind Kevin Durant?
No, I don't. I mean, I don't. I just don't. I'm sorry. I mean,
me neither.
I mean, I'm being honest about this too. Like, do you think game two was because of the fan reaction or because of the Celtics defense on Kyrie?
I think it was a factor. I think in order, it was Celtics defense, Kyrie getting demoralized in the second half.
Yeah.
Okay. In the first half, they were up 17. So no real reason for him to be demoralized, yeah. But the given factor on Kyrie, which started with the Celtics defense. And I would put the fact he might've been freaking hungry. On top of, or yeah. before, that I would give the Celtics fans credit because, if anything, you inspired him the game before. So he's already yeah. shown he can perform well with you hooting at him.
Yeah, well, and then the game before that at the Garden last year that he played, so he had scored 39 in back-to-back games at the Garden before, you know, the clunker in game two. And also, I would say, like, you can't have it both ways. You can't tell me as a Celtics fan that, you know, defensive player of the year, Marcus Smart, you know, put the locks on him and then say, but also we got in his head. It's like, well, now you're taking away from Smart. So which one was it? Like Smart put the shackles on him, or like the fans were in his head and he missed the shots? Because it can't be both.
We've got George in the car. Go, George.
Hey, what's up, guys? Maybe this is just the green talking to me, and I don't mean the Celtic screen, but Robert Williams, do you guys think that what Jimmy said about him trying to come back sooner, do you think he's kind of playing mind games with Simmons? Like, I was hurt 3 weeks ago, and I'm already back before you. You haven't played in almost a year.
I mean, I don't know if he's doing that or not, but that's how I think about it. It's like, Jesus, Simmons. Oh, how much more time do you need? You'll play Monday but not Saturday after a full year off? What is your deal?
By the way, no shocker, but Jay Stu is right here. So there's an update. Adrian Wojnarowski now has a full story about Williams' return. And the tweet that links to it says, ESPN story on Boston center Robert Williams planned to return. It's his plan to return, not the Celtics, like Jimmy said.
Okay. Oh, interesting. Okay.
So let's flush this out since it might be a thing. Williams is forcing himself back and the team doesn't want him back. Is that what we're saying? Let's pick this up right after Big Jim Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
At the end of the day, it's still all about sports.
We don't take it seriously.
And whatever's on Jim Murray's mind.
Get over the persecution complex, you children.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, we just mentioned it. I'll ask Jimmy Stewart to reset it. What do you think or believe might be going on with Rob Williams and the Celtics, Jimmy?
Based on the wording of Woj's tweet and Woj being an agent guy, it's Rob Williams intends to play Game 3 on limited minutes. And it feels like that the Celtics publicly have been consistent about not viewing Rob Williams as available this round. This seems like a conflict between the Celtics and Rob Williams right now.
Do we have an issue, Chris?
He's a young enough player. I mean, I think it's great that he wants to play, but I think he's a young enough player and doesn't have enough skins on the wall where it can be an issue. I think if push comes to shove and Ime and Brad Stevens tell him no, I don't think he's going to throw a hissy fit. And also, they signed him to an extension, so he's under contract, so he's not going anywhere. You know, but it's good. It's good that he wants to play, right? You applaud him for that.
Absolutely. That's the best part of the story. Wants to push himself back into the lineup. Good. That's what I would want.
Is Jimmy getting this from his phone or from Woj's story?
It's both, obviously. I mean, my guess, I don't know. Why would he pick out Woj's stuff? I mean, it's just, he's just coming back. Like,
especially because Jimmy's not a huge fan of Woj and says he's wrong all the time.
So, if you care to discuss, you can discuss.
That was a good nugget, Chris.
Chris and Rockland, go ahead, Chris. What do you got?
Jim's all the way. Guys, how you doing? I think it's great that, first question, real quick, Williams coming back to the Celtics makes them a better team, correct?
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yes.
He's healthy.
He's your best defender. He's the real defensive player of the year.
Absolutely. I'm a huge fan. Now, Ben Simmons coming back to Brooklyn, does that make those guys a better team?
Yes.
Yeah, but not as much.
Not as much. I agree. And Kyrie Irving, this guy is just such a cancer. Everywhere he goes, he forced his way out of Cleveland.
Yeah, except when they won the championship. So let's just not go too. Was he poisonous the year they won the championship, or did he win a championship?
With one of the biggest shots in the history of the NBA.
So, like, you know, I mean, I'll grant you what he's done recently, for sure, yeah. But that's not rewrite his entire history. The thing about, you know, Simmons, I just on paper, Simmons, I think, makes a bigger net impact to the Nets than Williams does to the Celtics. The Celtics are a historic all-time defensive team without Rob Williams.
You think so?
They're shut. Well, look at what they're doing.
I don't know. I mean, they give up, how many points did they give up in game one? 114?
Yeah, but they shut down. They did what they set out to do and shut down Durant. And so, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think the point is they're winning on defense without Rob Williams.
Yes, that's true.
The Nets defensively are a mess, and they really tried this last game and had some success, but they need their defensive stopper more than the Celtics do. I mean, I'm just talking about the net, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Williams is a better player.
One of your better basketball takes.
Thank you. There you go. Appreciate that. I'll take that home with me.
It's a short list.
Yeah, no.
I didn't say that. That wasn't me. That was Matt.
I couldn't resist.
It's a low bar. All right, I admit. Pockets and Leinster. Go ahead, Pockets.
Yeah, following up on Williams. You don't put him in until you lose, right? Best scenario, they sweep. He gets all that extra time. And if it goes to a fifth game, oh, well, you put him in then. And for people that say, you got to knock the rust off. Well, hey, geez, the first game of a new series. You watch his minutes set.
So, I mean, look, I don't think he's totally in a vacuum, but I just mentioned this before. The doctor clears him. The player says he's okay to go. Then he goes. Whether you're up 2-0 or down 0-2, I don't know. It's just sort of like that's the way it works. Now, if you want to fudge with it on the edges, we'll hold him an extra game because we're in command of the series. Like, I sort of get it.
But I also agree with what you were saying earlier, Chris. I think part of me feels like the Celtics know they have Brooklyn on the ropes. And if they win tomorrow night, this is going to be a sweep. So, yeah, let's try to knock him out.
Yeah, let's try to, and there's a couple of reasons. Like, you can look at it both ways. Like, I think he wants to play, you know, let's just knock these guys out before they get up off the mat and they're dangerous. I think from the Celtics standpoint, why they would keep him out, I mean, yeah, you know, Felger, you're right. The guy wants to play. He's healthy. He gets cleared. You play him, except when the guy has a chronic history of getting hurt. like, wouldn't you say that he is a higher risk than the normal player to re-injure this?
Yeah. Well, but then, but if he's cleared, he's cleared. I mean, if he's going to go down again, he's going to go down again, whether you play him on Saturday or next Saturday.
Well, that's not necessarily true, though. I mean, Maz, you know the medical stuff better than I do. Like, the longer you take to rehab and strengthen it, couldn't it be stronger? I mean, it's not going to be 100%. Like, they're not waiting until he's, like, back to exactly how he was before the MCL, the partial tear, to come back, right? I mean, he's good enough to go, but if you take more time to strengthen it...
And I just think the doctor...
Strengthen the muscles around it, aren't you less likely?
Yes. I mean, I suppose, but the doctor shouldn't be looking at 0-2 or 2-0. Is the knee ready or is the knee not ready?
No, that's right. The doctor should make an evaluation independently. Yeah, that part is fair. So, look, I don't know. Maybe we had it wrong at the beginning. Maybe this thing wasn't as bad as everyone thought, that they got in there and it was a small tear. They clipped off the piece of cartilage that was dangling or whatever, and he's fine, and he recovered quickly. It's not unprecedented with meniscus tear.
I just think it's not going to matter.
Yeah, meniscus. I'm sorry, I said MCL. Yes, meniscus.
You've got him. You've got this team, whether Williams plays or not. How about the next round, though, Chris? How do you assess what's sitting there in the next round? Now yeah. Middleton's down.
He's a Celtics killer.
Huge.
I mean, that's huge. That's another reason if you're the Celtics. I mean, I guess you can't control how fast Milwaukee gets through the series, but wouldn't you want to just get through this one as quickly as possible to try and make the Bucks play those games without Middleton? Who would step in for him?
Well, I mean, there's no one that to come off the bench. It's going to mean more of, Grayson Allen, more of Wesley Matthews, more of...
Jordan Nawara.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe he'll get the minutes, but it means more shots for Bobby Portis. Yeah. It means more shots for Pat Connaughton. It means more shots for Brooke Lopez. It means more shots for everybody. And it's just not the same. I mean, the Celtics are going to blitz Giannis like they blitz Durant. Mm. Giannis will fight harder through it than Durant will. That I'm confident of. But he'll also pass out of it, and there's going to be open shots, and it's not going to be Chris Middleton taking them, which sucks.
And also, if Giannis goes to the free throw line 20 times, he's not going to make 18. He's going to make 9.
No way. Well, he's gotten better than that, but call it 13, 14. Okay. Yeah, he'll make something like that.
Got it.
But no, it's just, the Bucks, like a lot of teams, they line four guys up around the three-point line, and they just chuck, and you got their best chucker is out. That's huge.
He's good. He always plays really well against the Celtics. Like, honestly, this is going to sound weird, and I know, Giannis, MVP, all that stuff. He's, like, at the end of the game, that's the guy I fear from the Celtics standpoint, when the ball's in Middleton's hands.
Let me put it like this. Everyone forgets it. Giannis went down in the middle of the Eastern Finals last year against Atlanta. I think it was 2-2, and he hyperextended his knee, and he missed the last two games of the East Finals, and the Bucks won them. The Bucks won it without Giannis. So I tend to agree. That he's not better than Giannis, but he might be more valuable in that regard. So that's a huge injury for you guys.
It's actually opening up for the Celtics. I mean, Devin Booker with the hamstring, right? I mean, it's kind of opening. I mean, I watched the Sixers the other night. I mean, Embiid, that guy looks like he's seriously injured on every other play. I feel like it's only a matter of time before he is actually seriously injured. It's kind of all coming up Celtics, isn't it?
There
it is.
There.
Yep.
The Green Brick Road.
Isn't it great?
Right
it
to really the Emerald is. City.
I love it. It's just so thrilled.
Wow, everybody's thrilled. They're doing cartwheels over in Needham, right?
Long commercial-free segment is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the place Boston sports fans come to get some positive vibes for their teams.
Anything but. It's time to panic.
Maybe not. Now, back to reality with Felger and Maz.
Just wondering your initial impressions on, having a job of this importance and working alongside someone like Bill Belichick and what the dynamic and collaboration is like between you guys.
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, obviously... coach is the general manager, coach is in charge. He's been doing this a long time. The more I can learn from Coach Belichick and a lot of the other guys around here, I'm going to do that. So it's definitely a collaborative process. It's great working with Coach. Absolutely love it. With all the input that he asks from us, and just getting his ideas and the information that he has on these players through, his different relationships across the country at different schools. It's it's been fantastic. It's I definitely take it as a huge honor, given the people who I'm working with and the people who have sat in this chair before me, you know, to Scott Pioli, Nick Caserio, Dave Ziegler, you know, think a lot of all those people, and really to be in this chair is an honor.
All right, Gasper, in closing, let's do some draft thoughts. That's Matt Groh, new director of player personnel. I've said it several times. I just listen to the tone and the deference, reverence with which he talks about and to Bill Belichick and say, this kid ain't going to do anything. He ain't going to push Bill in any direction. He ain't going to push back.
Can I just interrupt you for 1 second and change subjects just really quickly?
Yeah.
Just right on cue, tweet from Ramona Shelburne. Philadelphia 76ers star Joel Embiid is experiencing pain and discomfort in his right thumb, but practiced today and expects to play in Game 4. It's possible he gets an MRI in the near future to determine the extent of the injury.
Wow.
All coming up green there,
all
Gasper.
Coming up green. So I just had to, I mean, right on cue. All right. Right on cue.
Anyway.
Like being coached by Belichick.
Yeah. Right on cue. Yes.
So Groh, I'm less than confident in. I just sort of hate the tone there, which is just, it's an honor to be in the same room with Bill Belichick. Not exactly someone that's going to push back or lead you in a new direction or whatever, but where do you think we are less than a week to the draft?
And I'll just add this too. I mean, I thought that the most interesting thing, because I know a lot of people want a wide receiver here, and the last time they drafted a wide receiver in the first round, N'Keal Harry, they turned him over to Joe Judge. And according to Tom Curran, you know, there were people there who didn't feel like that was such a good idea. And so I thought that was the story of the week. I really did. And that sort of ties into what you're talking about. I mean, I think Matt Groh is better at his job than Joe Judge was as a wide receivers coach, or will be in whatever role he has here, quarterbacks coach. But it does sort of speak to this overarching theme. We've talked about this offseason, which is Bill's evaluation of these guys is based on how much they kiss the rings and how much he enjoys working with them. And that's a little scary.
Oh, or someone's called in a favor, like Al Groh, his former coaching buddy. And I know that was 10 years ago. Matt's been around a while, but
yeah, no, he's good. I mean, Groh's good.
How do we know?
Well, I'd say this. He's very good at this. He's good at the draft stuff. Like, you know, he worked his way up. It is highly unusual to have somebody as director of player personnel with no experience on the pro personnel side. And really, if you look back 3-4 years ago, I mean, he was an area scout. That is a meteoric rise to go from area scout to in 3 or 4 years to director of player personnel. So he obviously did a good job, an area scout, you know, national scout, being involved with the college scouting and all that stuff. He did a good job there, and I think you have to give him some credit for that. But to go from where he was to where he is, I would say this. He could do a very good job. Is he the most qualified person for the job? No.
I mean, again, how's that meteoric rise happen? Bring. Help out my son. Okay, click.
Well, the best part of that was the old thing.
No. See, that's not Al Groh. That's not Al Groh. That's not how that worked. That was Mike Lombardi.
Yes, but either way, it's non-threatening. It's a guy that owes his existence to Bill.
Bingo.
So there's just another guy. All right, actually, in terms of who they're going to take, what they're going to do, their approach, you getting any feelers out there, Chris? Any sense about what's going
to
happen?
I mean, not really. I'm sticking to what I think that if one of the linebackers, like if Devin Lloyd were to fall to them, I think that would be interesting. A lot of people have him going earlier, like Philadelphia. But if you're sitting at 21 and he's there, I think that's interesting. Otherwise, my gut would be they're either going to take some lineman or trade back. You know, this is a draft where I think the guys between, you know, 25 and 50 there's not much of a difference there unless you really like a guy and want the fifth year option. Like, I'll give you one. What if you, and I'm not the draft chart person, so I'm just throwing this out there. But like the Seahawks have back-to-back picks in the second round. I think it's in the early 40s. I could totally see the Patriots flipping, you know, their pick to the Seahawks for like those back-to-back second round picks. And then you have the 3 second-round picks, and you kind of maneuver there, and maybe you move up a little higher in the second round.
And remember how I think it's all Pages fans used to pleasure themselves over that?
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, they will again.
Look at how well.
Oh, I don't know this time.
Lost a little bit, you know, since you've started going 7-9 and 9-7, it's not quite as sexy, is it?
Yeah, but we need players, Felga.
It's not quite as interesting.
So, look, my gut tells me they're going to take the left tackle from Northern Iowa, is it?
Right? Trevor Penning?
Yeah.
If he's there?
Yes. They're going to take the left tackle there, and they're going to kick Wynn inside, and the kid's going to play left tackle. Wynn will be a guard, and then they'll dump his ass on the street.
I have the picks. The Seahawks have picks 40 and 41 back-to-back.
So you're saying, and so you don't know if those add up.
But I don't, because I'm not I can find a draft
chart.
Yeah,
no, it's all right.
Yeah, but they'll get an extra fifth.
But that's all you get? You just get those two picks?
No, you'd probably get something else, like a late-round pick or something.
Future first. Or something.
A future first in 2 seconds.
Oh, no, no. 2 seconds no, you're not is gonna, enough.
Yeah,
no,
you're going to get 2 seconds and you know, something
a
else.
A fifth.
Either way.
Whatever.
Either way, everyone's going to be mad on Friday.
No, there is.
Thursday.
I'm telling you.
Isn't it Thursday?
Well, Thursday night. By the time we come in Friday.
Yeah.
I think that they'll take that left tackle. The only way that I'll be happy, though, is if they take, and it's not, you know, a linebacker. We're talking a lineman now. If it's the fat kid from Georgia that can run fast.
Jordan Davis.
Chris, what do you think of him? Can he play?
He can play. I just don't think he'll be there for him. I think there are other teams, a team like maybe the Chargers, or there'll be another team, maybe the Saints, that will, he's such a freak athlete. He'd be a great fit. Again, that's a guy, if I think he's there, you know, if he's there, I think they go for him. So this is one draft chart that says that deal works. It says 21's worth 800 points. And 40 and 41 are worth 500 and 490. So you might have to throw something in.
Oh, you have to throw something in. Oh, a fifth.
Take Nikhil Harry.
First and a half for 2 seconds.
All right. Do we have Gasper and Murray tomorrow?
We do. Extra half hour, too. And you always have to tune in to find out whether or not Chris will stick around for that extra 30 minutes.
It depends. You know, I have to say.
Are you paid for it?
No, I don't get anything extra for it. And ever since Murray ditched me to go to Hyde in WeHo, you know, I'm not really in the mood to help him out.
Chris, I'm sorry if it sounded like I scolded you earlier.
You didn't.
Oh, all right.
No. Boy, you obviously didn't hear what I said about you on Nesson on Zolak and Bertrand.
Did you say something bad?
Yeah, I said I was warming to you.
Oh, really?
I didn't mean it, though. I was just trying to be provocative. But
yeah. Oh, no, I don't care.
That's not very provocative. You know, work on your provocation there.
Well, no, because all of a sudden, you know, I was there with Barth and Bertrand, and they're like, oh, taking shots at Maz. And I'm like, I don't even mean this, but yeah.
No, you can do it, Chris. That's fine. That's your job.
Anyway, what time does your show start tomorrow, Murray?
11 o'clock till 2:30.
Watch your back, Gasper.
2:30 tomorrow, Gasper.
Or 11 to 2 for some of us.
Right up until the final buzzer. See ya. Here comes Murray's update. 90 seconds, no spots. Final hour of your calls, no agenda, just you. We'll do that thing again. No commercial.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.